Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. You've heard me talk about my dog Tucker a lot on this podcast, and it's hard to imagine our family now without the joy that this little field spaniel has brought to our daily lives. That's when we were approached about advertising Superfood Complete on the show, and I said, well, yes, of course. Actress Katherine Heigl has helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, and she is seeing more and more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about, feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Dogs across America, just like my dog Tucker, are trying Superfood Complete and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe and order right now to get up to 50% off your regularly priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com. That's BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe today. Summer concert season is almost upon us, and if you're heading out to a country show, it'll be all about the boots. With seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more, Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges. And they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. This is the ZabeCast. From the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go.
It's a Monday, February 26, 2024, and you are looking live at my parents' rented condo in my future, Andy, retirement community, Scottsdale, Arizona. Yeah, buddy.
I've been listening to that for a decade now. Yeah, Arizona. I gotta go to Arizona.
You're hit immediately with the beautiful weather. But it was a rough January out here. And, you know, I'm not out here in the summer. The summer is pretty much the surface of Mars.
Right.
So anyway, but yeah, it's out here. Spring training has spooled up. And remind me to tell you what ticket prices are for some of these spring training games, because it will absolutely blow your mind. But there's too much other stuff that is popping right now. So let's get cracking on it. Let's start with, I think, the biggest story of the weekend, the Kyle Filipowski court storming incident at Wake Forest. Before I taint the waters and taint the jury pool with any of my opinions on it, let me ask you, Andy, what is your global opinion of the entire incident, soup to nuts?
This may be the tipping point. You know, we've had these things over the years, but once you start messing with saintly Duke, that might be the end of it. Now, if Krzyzewski was there,
oh my God,
he might have a ban by now.
Can you imagine Krzyzewski with his B
beady little rat eyes and his, "I think Wake Forest should be put on probation for this. This was right. deplorable."
Yeah.
Okay, so it's the tipping point. You know, as I tweeted, everyone's says we should ban court storming, and I'm okay with it, but nobody's got a plan. Like, right. the SEC has a fine system in place that goes against the home school, but I don't know for sure if it has been effective. Do you?
I don't. You know, we had something with Caitlin Clark a while ago.
Right.
So, you know, those kind of things have been happening. Also, I do have somewhat mixed emotions because one of the great sports highlights of my son's stay at Indiana was storming the court after they knocked off undefeated Kentucky. So
right.
there's that. But there should be, first of all, there should be a way to get the players off the court. That's the main thing. And we've had, you know, in the NFL, people don't remember this, but there was field storming in the NFL after big games.
And in the NFL.
Yeah. In fact, the championship game between the Cowboys and the Redskins, December 31st, 1972, if you look at the old pictures, you can probably find shots in various places, YouTube, whatnot. And the fans did storm the field. And I remember talking to Dyron Talbert, who was one of the star players in the Redskins.
The Dancing Bear.
No. That was Ron McDonald.
Oh, that's right. Doggone it. I always get that mixed up.
Yeah, this was Talbert, and he said it almost felt like he was drowning. Like there were so many people on top of him, he couldn't get up for a while, and was really scared. But you know, that was one of the great nights in DC sports history.
Did you ever storm the court ever?
I don't think so. Yeah, I'm trying to.
Think so? Will the witness answer the question, please?
Well, I went to a Division III school. I went to one school that didn't even have a football team.
That was Trinity, right, down in San Antonio?
Yeah. Trinity had a football team. American did not. The basketball teams, I can't remember. And I don't think there was anything really court-storming worthy. So, no, I don't think I ever did, no.
Okay. I stormed the court at UC Santa Barbara, the Harvard of the West, when we beat UNLV. Yes, I said we, Andy. Did you hear that? We. How many points, rebounds, assists did I have in the game? 0, 0, and 0, but I camped out.
You matriculated there. That's fine.
Okay. I camped out overnight with my best bud and roommate, John Peterson, future junior college basketball coach at Ohlone Junior College in the Bay Area. We camped out overnight, slept in a bed of... what do they call that? That like ice plant. Yeah, ice plant, which is like a weird plant that's native to California only. Had the best time ever. And not only did we storm the court, but we then clambered up the metal scaffolding to stand astride the scoreboard at the Student Event Center on the campus of UC Santa Barbara, Harvard of the West. And I've got a not digital asset, but it was an analog asset with an old school camera. And it was digitized since. I'll have to post that online. But that was a great night, and that was wonderful. Now, there are multiple problems going on with court storming. All right, so let's try to deal with them piece by piece. Number one, if you try to ban it, it's going to be difficult because there is no security force, there is no device capable of keeping 100 or 200 even fans off the court. Can we agree on that?
Well, there is, but you'd have to spend a lot of money on security.
Right. You'd have to go back to the days when basketball players were called, and I believe Rich Schwatkin, the longtime voice of the Hoyas, still calls them this, the Cagers, right?
Right. Yeah, you'd play in a cage. Yeah.
Yes, I looked it up because I was telling my parents about this, and I said, yeah, you know, this guy, Rich Schwatkin for the Warriors, like, and the Cagers of Georgetown take on the Providence Friars tonight in a Big East matchup that is sure to titillate. and so, you know, I remember, like, it was like Cagers. I would listen to, you know, Rich do that thing. And I'm like, Cagers. Yeah. And I looked it up. And sure enough, early post Dr. Naismith nailing the beach buckets up at the YMCA, they would sometimes erect a mesh net around courts to both keep fans from going after loose balls and also the rowdier fans from getting on the court and interrupting the play. So that's where it came from. We can't go back to those days. You cannot hire enough security guards and justify it to stand around because, you know, these teams may not win. So what are you going to do? Hire 100 extra uniformed police officers, take them off the streets, hoping Wake Forest wins the game so they're of use?
Yeah, I don't know what you do. I mean, we've had some other incidents even going way back, like I think Wisconsin beat Ohio State in football and a railing collapsed.
Yes.
And there were some massive injuries. I don't know if there are any deaths, but there was
I'll have to ask my boys in Wisconsin that. But I remember that. That was a big one. There was a high school prospect who was going D1 in Arizona here who got a serious brain injury from a court storming in high school.
Right.
And there's been other incidents along the way. So, okay, I'm all for banning it if that's what we're going to do. But we need a solid plan. I jokingly said on Twitter, I'm like, well, what you do is you let them on the court. And then you pull up from the floor a rope cordon and then cinch it tight around whoever you can catch, sort of like fish in a net. And then you tell those people in that cordon, either pay $5,000 to the university, which would, of course, make their parents irate because no kid's got that money, or you're expelled from the school. Harsh? Yes. Is it unfair to those who escaped the fishnet? Of course. But it's meant to be a deterrent. You'd only have to do that once or twice to finally get people to go, this is not worth it. I know that's not workable. That's sort of a joke solution. So whatever your solution is, I'd like to hear it. Now, to the other part of this particular incident, I believe Filipowski tried to trip the guy.
Well, there's that. Yes, there's always that Duke element to it. Like, you know, what are they doing, you know, to prevent it? And were they actually, you know, instigating?
No. It wasn't. Slow it had down? Nothing, Andy had nothing to do with it being Duke. You could have put him in a South Carolina jersey. He took an unnatural step. He took an unnatural step and then tried to kind of give a little forearm shiver to the fan who was running by. Sort of like the way Caitlin Clark flopped when she chose not to avoid the fan. It does not make them to blame, and I'm not excusing the asshat fans who are getting in the faces of the players, but I'm saying both things can be true at once.
Right. But it's just hard to assign any kind of, you know, finger pointing in that kind of situation. It's an unnatural thing for a player to have to fight off fans to get to the locker room.
I know it's unnatural, but he made an unnaturally long extended leg stride and an arm push. So that has to be factored in there. If you're a player, get off the court. Now, Shire said, hey, I should have done better. I should have had him off the court, but they had a chance to win the game still. So I don't know why you'd want to take him off the court.
Yeah, you know, I saw one. This is probably when Mark Turgeon was coaching Maryland, but it was one of those games where their fans were going to storm the court because they had an upset. He called a timeout with, like, you know, 2 seconds left.
Right.
And the players all went to the locker room. Like, and all that was left on the court were the few Scribinis who were finishing up.
Right.
And so that was I don't know how you can do that. If you have a buzzer beater, you can't stop that. But if you got a game like that where, you know, Duke was down, what, 5 or 6 points at the end?
Right.
That may have been a way to do that.
Right. So, you know, what can be done? We'll see about that. But there's a lot of elements to it. I am sort of glad that the youngins, all in their phones and whatnot, Andy, can still get excited enough about sports to storm the court.
Yeah. I mean, they're for a while, Maryland had it so that if you wanted to go to the Duke game, this is when they were still in the ACC,
right,
you had to have attendance at other games. Like, you got your ticket punched at the other games that weren't desirable. I mean, that's a concept that would have been completely foreign to me when I was in college.
Yes. So that was one of the big stories of the weekend. Another story that has bubbled up just in the last several hours is Cam Newton was at a football camp, and next thing you know, he is full-on brawling with, like, four different guys. It looks like a one-on-four, and I'm just thinking to myself, what is going on? This is not at a club at 2 a.m. This is at a football camp. What is happening?
Do you know what precipitated it? I've just seen these little shots on Twitter, but I don't know the background on it.
I don't know, but I know this. There is a very ironic sort of slogan for the camp that apparently was part of it, which I saw. If you watch the video, you can see the t-shirt, which I think is one of their camp t-shirts. And it says on the back, "This shit is personal." Hmm. And that is part of the problem. I still was taken aback when Cam Newton was getting heckled by the 12-year-old kid about his lack of rings. Do you remember that incident?
No, where was this?
Yeah, this was a couple of years ago where a kid starts mouthing off to Cam, who had come to do this camp for kids, and the kid is talking shit to him. And then Cam turns around and kind of talks shit back. And I just thought, man, let it go. First of all, where's that kid's dad? You know, that's right. Why we need fathers to go, what the fuck is wrong with you? This guy, this is an ex-NFL player. He was kind of still in the league, actually. He's an NFL player who's been to a Super Bowl, spending his time at this camp, and you're doing what? Talking shit because he hasn't won a championship? Like, you are so grounded when you get home. So that's number one. But secondly, there's something about Cam that gets him in fights. I just think ex-NFL quarterbacks of that much success and that much money should never be in a situation like this.
Yeah, I don't know what touched it off, but yeah, and where aren't there other people working at the camp that can, you know, kind of get these guys away?
I don't know. It must have flared up really quick because by the time shit got popping, it was one on four. And it was Cam against the world. And it wasn't a case of like, wait a minute, I can't really see from this cell phone video. Is that Cam? No, you can tell because he had one of those big old silly hats on. So
yeah, he says he buys those at thrift stores, by the way.
Yeah.
All those crazy clothes he buys. He doesn't spend a lot of money on it.
His style, I like his style for him. It wouldn't work for everybody, but I think it works for him. Also, from the weekend, the NFL salary cap was announced. And it is booming, up a record $30 million. So the NFL, Andy, keeps on breaking through like an icebreaker ship, any and all records, any and all possible economic headwinds, any and all downward trends and ratings for other leagues and other sports. This fucking ship is unsinkable.
The overtime for the Super Bowl earned CBS an extra $60 million. Just the overtime.
Right.
$60
million. That's incredible, isn't it?
No, it's mind-blowing. And you're not hearing much out of Mark Cuban these days about pigs getting fat and pigs getting slaughtered because the pigs are just chewing everything up. And that deal, that mind-blowing deal that the NFL made with the networks, that's got an opener in like 5 or 6 years. Oh, they can't wait to reopen that deal.
Well,
that's
just going to be like opening, you know, Fort Knox and backing a truck up to it. Did you see what Amazon has paid for their own playoff game? A single game for Amazon in the playoffs, wild card round, no doubt, $120 million.
They passed on the option last year and it went to Peacock, and Peacock got $23 million. And one of the few times that Amazon has made a financial mistake, they went, ooh, we're not going to let that happen again.
Wait, so this year's Peacock game only cost Peacock $23
million? No, it drew $23
million. Oh, okay, right, drew $23 million. Do you know what Peacock paid for this year's exclusive?
I don't, but I bet it was less than $120 million.
Oh, it would have to be. So once again, the NFL continues to find ways to further monetize its product. How far do you think it's going to go?
I used to not think this was going to happen, but it could happen in my lifetime that we have a pay-per-view Super Bowl.
I don't know. I think the Super Bowl will be the one piece of dry land that does not get submerged in the greedy tide that is rising. But I can see in our lifetimes, Andy, the only free games that don't require a streaming subscription service in the playoffs are the NFC and AFC championship games and the Super Bowl. So in other words, for the real football fans, I want to watch the wild cards and the divisional rounds, because I just judge everything off my mom. My mom is a fan, but she's not a super hardcore fan. the casuals will come in for the two championship games in the Super Bowl. And I think the NFL wants that to have as much cultural relevance and be as free and easy as possible. But everything else, they could probably charge for.
Yeah, the one that they wouldn't charge for is the Thanksgiving games, because that brings a lot of people into the tent. Well, that's like late in the season, and people start watching more games after that, I think.
Well, you know, last year, first time ever, a Friday, Black Friday game that was on what channel? Amazon Prime, which is not free.
And didn't do that well, as I understand. It was a crappy game, too.
But that was the game where I think the Jets had the Hail Mary pick six.
Yeah, right. But when they bought the game, they thought they were getting Aaron Rodgers. So I don't blame them for that.
Sure. Yeah. Now the network's going to ask for rebates on whether or not certain key players will be in. Like, hey, we're buying this game, but there better be this guy and this guy at quarterback.
Oh, yeah. Well, look, when they go to 18, and they will, when they go to 18 games, you're going to get the load management argument starting up in the NFL, too. Well, that's going
to
happen.
You heard my suggestion that it's fine to have an 18-week schedule, and you just make it so that every player can only play 16. Now
yeah,
you
they've
add,
had that.
What's that?
I've heard that. I don't think that'll happen, but yeah, okay.
Do you like the idea or hate the idea?
I don't
Sounds
think
like you hate it.
Well, I don't think it works in the NFL because there's so many injuries. Like a guy can pick a couple of games to miss, and then let's say he uses up his allotment early, and then he gets hurt and misses 6 weeks. I don't really think you can make it work that way in the NFL. Oh,
I think it actually is perfect, though, in that, if you're an owner, you look at it like this. Shit, the three of the four highest paid guys on my roster, they already missed two games a year. So why not make the schedule two games longer, but a mandatory two-game sit-out, and now I'm getting more product at no further wear and tear on the bodies of my best players.
All right, there's two games to go. You're fighting to get into the playoffs, and your starting quarterback hasn't taken his games off. You going to make him sit out those last two?
Andy, radio gold, my friend. Radio gold. Do you
yes,
know the amount of radio gold from second guessing? When are we going to use one of the two mandatory sit-outs for Josh Allen this year? Like, and imagine the locker room material. All right, it's week 11, and Josh Allen is healthy, but he's sitting out against the 1-10 Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and the Buccaneers are pissed.
And they win. Those games happen all the time.
Right, but the lead-up and the chattering about, what disrespect, they're sitting Josh Allen. It'd be great. Anyway.
Do you think the NFL really cares about sports radio chatter that much? I know they care about it, but not to that degree, I don't think.
No, I don't think so.
You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.
Have you seen at all, when was the last spring training baseball game you went to?
Oh boy, that's a ways back. A long time ago,
right?
Yeah, I used to go when I worked in Dallas and the Rangers. That's over 40 years ago.
Where did they train?
They were in Florida then. They were in Pompano Beach. I've not been to Arizona, but I have a friend who's a big baseball guy and says the Arizona spring training is much better than Florida now. Teams are closer together. Yeah. It just works a lot better.
It's closer. The weather is better. There's fewer rainouts because obviously they get thunderstorms that often wash out days in Florida. A couple of the team's training facilities are very inconveniently located in the middle of nowhere because it was cheap land. That I'm looking at you, Astros and Nationals, who train in Davie. Is that it?
West Palm is where
they're in West Palm. I thought they were more inland, but okay, never mind that. I can't speak to the Florida scene, but I can speak to the Arizona scene. So my uncle Mike is a huge Giants fan. So too my cousin Tommy. Shout out Tommy, who's a big listener here to the pod. I'll have to get him on the pod here to talk about this. So the Giants train here in Scottsdale. They have forever. They have a beautiful, cute as hell, tiny little baseball stadium in the heart of downtown Scottsdale. And the get-in price for the seating on the grass, Andy. So no seat, no cup holder, no nothing in the grass. $109 for a game that A, doesn't count, B, might be split squad, and C, includes a lot of double and triple A players. What is going on?
I don't know. I remember days where you could just walk up to the box office and buy a ticket, but obviously it's become quite popular, and it sounds like it's made a huge comeback after the pandemic, because there was a time, at least one year, where they weren't letting any fans in.
Right. That was the full year after. That was 2021, spring of 21. That was also the lockout, oh, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Are you aware of the jersey controversy?
Yes, I've seen the kvetching about that. Yes, I have.
Now, you're the last guy that would have a strong opinion on this because you, as a fan, don't buy nor wear jerseys for the most part.
Right? I have a Sonny jersey that I bust out every once in a while. Right. That's about
it. Do you own a baseball jersey?
I have somebody's gave me an Orioles, like, knockoff. You know, not a replica, but no number or anything on the back. Just an Orioles plain thing. Yeah, but I don't wear that. No.
So you can agree that the uniforms look like shit. The new ones by Nike and Fanatics. Okay. Yeah. And now we're seeing nut shot after nut shot after dick shot, and it's embarrassing. And so far, they haven't said, okay, we'll fix it. All they've done is spin excuses. Nike said, well, the fabric's as thick as it was last year. And I'm like, who cares? Last year, no dicks. This year, dicks. We got a problem. You might want to fix it. The names look cheaper on the back. They're smaller. It's a disaster. And so we were talking, me and some of the fellas, about how does this happen? Do you have a theory as to how this ends up happening? Because this has to go through multiple levels of decision-making with MLB, with Nike, and with Fanatics.
Yeah. Now, these apparently it's the same as what they used in the All-Star game this past year.
Well, and nobody noticed it. At least I didn't hear that they noticed it.
No, nobody seemed to care. So they said, well, that's enough of a test case. so we're going to roll it out. I think what's going to happen is the same thing that happened with the new NBA basketball.
Oh, God, yeah. Remember that?
And the players said, this stinks. And they, no, this is really good. No, this stinks. And then they went, yeah, you're right, it stinks. And they got rid of it like a third of the way into the season. So I think that's what's probably going to happen here.
So here's my theory on how this happens. Because so apparently Nike, they licensed their swoosh to Fanatics and said, okay, you can use our brand on your actual product that you source the manufacture and materials from, you know, in Thailand and Cambodia, where they make all these textiles, right? And you would think, wouldn't you, that Nike, somebody there would say, look, it's our swoosh on it. It's got to at least meet our standards, even if we are a soulless child labor employing, you know, company. And somebody would have stepped up and said, whoa, these aren't any good. Or did they even try them on a real baseball player and say, turn around, bend over. Oh, shit. Yeah, we can see your cock and your balls. Not good. Didn't happen. So here's my question that I've been just turning over my head. How? Why? Somebody would have stood up. Oh, that's right. Nobody's going to stand up. Not when some high-level executive says, okay, fellas, we got Fanatics and Nike. They're doing our new uniforms this year. I think you're going to really like them. We want to show you some here. What are you guys thinking? Picture a big conference room, right, at Nike or Fanatics or MLB, and there's 20 people sitting around it. Who in that room, Andy, is going to stand up and go, I hate it. I think it's bad. I think we should go back to what we did. Nobody. Because corporate culture is rotten to the core. No worker wants to stand up and tell his boss, this sucks, right?
Oh, yeah. No, I've been in those meetings, and I have been often the one who says something, and no. You know, you get shouted down. No, this is going to be great. No, it's not great. I'm telling you, you know, and I've been in meetings about radio shows which launched and lasted 6 months and said, this stinks. This isn't going to work. Oh, no.
The man cave. Yes.
What? Oh, yes. Oh, that's right. That's the name of it. Yeah, right.
My funniest moment, it was terrible for you. You had to sit in on it and do the updates. Oh. How many updates did you do for that show, too?
Well, you know, it was supposed to be a few minutes, but they had nothing to talk about, so they would keep me there for about 15 minutes. They were nice guys, but the thing was so poorly conceived. I mean, it was just awful.
So our lead sales manager, Anthony Fermi, great guy, right?
Vernie.
Anthony Vernie, old Tony Vernie, sharp guy, smart. Wish we could have kept him. He comes pacing at about 20 miles an hour, it seemed, down the long hallway past my office. Doors open. I can see him in a flash. It's like, boom, 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 boom. He stops, pivots, turns around, leans his head in, points up at the hallway speaker that was playing, you know, the show on the air, and he looks at me with exasperation saying, this is going to get better, right? Tell me this show is going to get better. And I looked at him and I said, Tony, I don't think so. I really don't. He then turned and then resumed stomping down the hallway. Oh, my God. It was so bad. But, you know, I wasn't worried about getting fired from him. So that's why I was able to tell him the truth. I remember when I got yelled at by Todd Castleberry because I said, why are we playing that awkward promo with John Thompson and Tiger Woods all the time? People are mocking it. And after the meeting where they said, hey, any questions, you know, just ask away. And it was a big room. It was the whole station and the bullpen. After the meeting, Todd is like, get in my office. And I'm like, what? He goes, why do you make me look bad like that about the promos? And I'm like, oh. I was under the idea we're supposed to offer constructive criticism of how to be better. Sorry.
Yeah. Open meetings where they say, ask any question you want.
Shut up.
It never works that way.
Right. You pretend a cop is reading you your Miranda rights at that point. Right. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you by the dickheads above you in the corporate org chart.
Exactly.
All right. What else this weekend caught your eye?
Oh, have you seen the Ryan Clark stuff? This is great.
Oh, yes. Ryan Clark is now taking to social media to try to pressure ESPN into a new deal.
Yeah, his basis is, I took less money last time, but I did everything they wanted me to do. Ryan, that's called doing your job. You have a six-month job, and your job is to talk about football. You are a faceless defensive back who hasn't played in 10 years. And you're not Dion. You're a guy who played in the NFL, speaks loudly about the NFL, does a good job doing that. But guess what? They can find more. So if you're looking for Stephen A. Smith money or McAfee money, not going to get it. You're not getting it.
Andy, not only is he, they all are. Shannon Sharpe is the same way. Shannon Sharpe apparently said, I saw this, I had to read it four times to understand what I was reading from Awful Announcing. Sharpe signs a new deal with ESPN through NBA season. I go, that's only six more months. And that's the reason that they brought him on to see how he would do during football season opposite Stephen A. But they didn't buy any more shares of Shannon Sharpe off of that.
Right. Right. These guys don't realize, unless you have a unique thing, which I guess they believe Stephen A. does, and certainly what McAfee has,
right,
they pay you a lot of money. If not, they find another football player who talks loudly.
Right.
And it'll be 3 years before anybody will notice that Ryan Clark is gone. Hey, didn't he used to work at ESPN? Yeah, whatever happened to him? Oh, yeah, he wanted a lot of money. He went someplace else.
I remember, I'm old enough to remember when Lewis Riddick was considered a rising star at the four-letter network in the Connecticut woods.
I like him.
I do too, but he's too reasonable. He's not enough of a hot take artist, Andy.
Right. They keep him employed, but they don't make him a big star. No, but he's good. I like him.
Yeah. Well, do you think Ryan Clark gets a new contract?
Not with ESPN. He may go to Fox, but again,
that ship has sailed. Did he seal his own fate by lobbying online about it, or had the decision already been made?
Well, I think they have put their best offer on the table. There may be a little bit of room for negotiation, but there's not much. And if he doesn't sign it, nobody in Bristol is going to shed a tear. They'll just get another ex-player in there.
Yeah, that just reminds me of our former colleague, now the voice of the Commanders, Bram Weinstein, who was doing really well at ESPN, or so he thought, and I think we thought. He was actually featured in the This Is SportsCenter commercials, which is a pretty nice little feather in your cap. He was doing a lot of Sunday morning sports centers, which, while not convenient for a lifestyle, was a very high leverage spot, right? So he was good. They seemed to like him. And his deal came up and they said to him, they're like, well, here's the number. And, you know, you need to let us know if you're in or not. And Bram was like, well, wait, I want to, are we going to have a talk about this? Like, you know, I was hoping to, and they go, no, you got to decide by tomorrow night at 5. Otherwise you're out. And he was out. It was shocking. It was depressing to me.
Well, and that was before, you know, they've had several rounds of big cuts since then.
Oh, so I know.
That he wasn't able to really see what was coming, but yeah, now it's a totally different world there.
But look, I think he's as good as, who's that other guy? Randy Scott.
Yeah. No, he was very good. And he's very good at what he does now. And he's in his hometown. So I guess it all worked out.
It's worked out. I mean, he's as good as your boy, Mike Greenberg.
Oh, Greenberg is a creation of management. He is the guy whose skill is making management like him. And he's also the fire extinguisher. Whenever they have something controversial, like the whole Rachel Nichols, Maria Taylor dust up,
right,
they just throw him in, and it's like a bucket of cold water.
He's like Spackle. They'll apply him anywhere and everywhere needed.
Yeah, I mean, I heard him compared to Ryan Seacrest.
I think Ryan Seacrest has actual talent.
Yes, but what is it? I mean, what could you put your finger on for him?
I don't know. Seacrest is smooth. He seemed to got that look and whatnot. To me, you know, Greenberg, you grew up with a dozen Greenbergs. You could throw a dead cat and hit four of them that love sports, right? That go to synagogue.
Right. but he's got a real skill in making management like him.
Oh, yeah.
Management people like him, and so that keeps him in that spot where they can just plug him in. Okay, and there's chaos here. Let's just put Mike in there, and it'll all calm down.
Yeah, all these talented ESPN, they are not only hypnotized by McAfee and Stephen A. Money, but they also miss the boat on the stupid cash for the likes of Buck and Aikman and Wojnarowski. $10 million for Woj, $12 million a year for Schefter. It's bonkers money.
Yeah, well, they're
and ain't giving that, nobody's getting those deals anymore. Ship has sailed.
Well, those guys are fairly recent, though, because
I know,
what can happen with a Schefter, not so much Woj, but with a Schefter, Fox takes them. That puts a dent in them. That hurts ESPN.
No, it doesn't, Andy. Buying into their stupid.
Well, who's the guy? Who's the guy that takes the spot?
Somebody else. I don't watch ESPN for Adam fucking Schefter. He's a transactional NFL guy. He repeats what agents want him to repeat to get things in the bloodstream. So-and-so wants a new contract. I hear the Vikings are considering getting out of the Cousins business. Whatever they want out there, they go right to Schefter.
Yeah, but I think he's got sources that other people would take. It would take time to develop. Let's put it that way.
There's also Ian Rappaport.
Yeah. There's guys sitting out there waiting with their nose pressed against the window for Schefter's wife to say, you know, you haven't had a vacation in 10 years. You don't even know the name of the dog. You know, how about having a bit of a life here? So that might happen.
All right, very good. All right, Andy, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you. Do you need me to get you perhaps a scorpion encased in a Lucite paperweight to bring home from the desert?
Oh, is that the
gift shop
thing. State building snow globe of
it is essentially, yeah. Yes, a scorpion inside a Lucite paperweight is one thing. They used to sell old Native American trinkets, but I'm sure that's now deemed inappropriate and cultural appropriation, but they were the things I remembered as a kid coming out here to visit my grandfather.
Yeah, my grandfather used to travel. I think I have something. I have like a leather stool that he brought me once from Arizona, somewhere in the basement.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm good.
All right. Well, you go sit on that stool and go watch a Maryland game, okay?
I already watched it. They played a team today that played significantly worse than they did, so they won. It was good.
All right. Very good. Andy, thank you, my friend. We'll talk next week.
All right, Zed. Take care.
And that'll do it for us today. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you for the week off as I'm back from MexScript with 97.3 The Game in Milwaukee, and nobody died, which is, of course, the number one Sally mantra for all of these excursions to places where, you know, mishaps can and do happen. Thanks for listening and downloading. Have a great Monday, and we will see you next time. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.